All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton here with you, a midsummer last week of June edition of the show. And it's been a little while as we kind of went on hiatus there for a few weeks. But you know what? Some things have piled up. So we got plenty to get to on today's show, and it's great to talk to everybody. Been a little busy, of course, doing another show if you have a chance to listen. And I, you know, hopefully it keeps going for a little bit longer than just tomorrow morning show. But I've been doing Lightning Playoff Rewind on the Lightning's radio station on iHeart. And if you just go to tblpowerplay.com, you can always hear it. It's every morning after games at 9. And this is after every playoff game. Like I said, hopefully more than just one more. As I'm recording this right now, it's Friday afternoon. We got game 5 tonight over in Denver. But I've been doing that all throughout the playoffs. It's been a blast. And of course, seeing the Lightning go as far as they have is the main part of the fun. And that has been something else going on. Of course, summer, kids, camps, all that stuff. It's all good. Love this time of year. Chance to kind of get things settled in, get things done, because we're not far away, folks. All right? Bucks have just announced it. We're going to talk about it on the show today. July 27th is when camp will open. That's 1 month, basically. And we'll talk about that because only season ticket people and select people will get to go to the practices. But anyway, once that happens, I mean, what do we got? Like, you know, a couple weeks of that. Then they start playing preseason games, and then it's right back into it. So you know why I like the summer? I'm not one of these people that wishes it was summer all year round, but you know, football season, off season is a long off season because the season's so short. It's one of the things that makes football great, even though we regret it sometimes because there's no football for a lot of the year. The season really matters more, you know. But when you get to the summertime, especially you hit June, like, you can see it now. Like, it's not here, but you can see it. And even when I drive by, like, I live now near Plant High School, I see the kids out there during the afternoons or even the mornings. They're up early, and they're going through their conditioning drills and stuff. And I'm like, yep, football. Just not that far off, folks. And so we're going to catch you up today on the show. Like I said, we've been off for a little while, but some things have gone on. And it's pretty quiet right now, as it tends to be in those weeks leading up to training camp. But there are a few things I wanted to get to. As always, if you want to get a hold of me or email me or tweet me on the show, love hearing from you. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. BobbyGameDay, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can always find me, same thing, @BobbyGameDay. And the free stretch, like it always is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. If you're looking for a brand new, pre-owned, used car, truck, or van, whatever it is, go to the website first. Like I always tell everybody, it's BillCurryFord.com. Remember, Curry is spelled C-U-R-R-I-E. BillCurryFord.com. You can see the entire inventory there, the completely transparent online, no-haggle pricing. Then go to the lot a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. Check things out over there. Whatever you end up buying, you're going to get not just that vehicle, but the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. So if you buy the car at Bill Curry Ford, as long as you own it, you don't have to worry about, oh, I heard a ping, engine trouble, whatever. That's a bad feeling. Doesn't matter because you're covered. You just bring it into the service center right there. You're taken care of. It could be 5 years from now. It could be 8 years from now, 10 years from now. If you own the car, you still own it, you bought it at Bill Curry Ford, done. In addition to the first year, your oil changes and everything is all free. Plus, you get free roadside assistance for 10 years, so you don't need AAA or anything like that. So all kinds of reasons. Check them out. Again, BillCurryFord.com, the website, or see them a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. So the first thing, probably the most noteworthy thing for the Bucks on the field, at least, that I wanted to get to, was the Rob Gronkowski retirement. And that news came out last week, and so there are varying reactions to this. Obviously, if you've paid attention to pro sports for any amount of time, you've seen many, 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 many of these announcements be made, and then whenever the time actually comes to strap it up, yeah, you know what, actually, I'm going to play again. So not a lot of people are putting a ton of stock into it, but he did announce his retirement. Of course, we just saw Tom Brady do this, and what was that, 44 days? So now we're out with Gronkowski. Oh, he'll be back, whatever. He'll play what he needs to play. And that may well happen. I tend to believe this one a little bit more. So I don't think there's going to be a Tom Brady situation where he dramatically announces his return after announcing his retirement. I mean, he wasn't going to come back to begin with, and he did because of Brady and coming to the Bucs and try something new. And then they did it. They won the Super Bowl, accomplished everything you could want to set out to accomplish. And so after that happened, and you got to understand, his body, like, a position that he plays, tight end, is a little bit different than quarterback. I mean, he's really, really been beat up and, you know, punctured lungs and all this other stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if he really is done. And I, as I said, don't think he's going to come back with some big announcement. Yes, I am returning. What I could see, and it makes more sense to me, is like an Eric Weddle type situation where, hey man, you know, we need you. You know, maybe it's week 15, maybe it's even before the playoffs. You know, Brady's going to be working on him. Hey man, we need you. You know, what do you think? Come on back. I mean, he could get himself ready to play within a few weeks, I would imagine. Hey, oh yeah, I'll come back. I could see that. And I mean, football's tough. Listen, I remember, I love football. I mean, you know me, if you listen to this show, I'm a huge football guy. I played football in high school. I've coached it at the high school level. Football, football, football. I grew up in a family of coaches with my dad and my uncle. And as much as I love football, and I like it more than the other sports, I love a lot of sports. I love baseball. I love hockey. I love all these, but nothing at the end of the day is like football. As much as I like that, though, football practice ain't nothing to write home about, okay? And so, like, and football's tough because the other sports, you know, you go out there and you practice, then the games, there's always a different level between practices and games, but with football, it's different. Like, football practice, it's hard to get into that mode when it's not really actually a game, and especially when you've done it as long as these guys have. Like, I could totally see him, if you said, hey, Rob, we're just going to ask you to show up, you know, once a week during the week, and I'm not saying the Bucs should do this, I'm just saying I'll bet he would agree to do this. Hey, we're going to ask you to show up once a week, no pads, just want to make sure you know the playbook and stay fresh, and you don't have to do any actual practicing, and then play games every week for 17 games. Would you do that? Hell yes, he'd do that, I bet. But my gosh, every day, and putting all that equipment on and going, they don't hit as much as they used to, and they certainly don't hit like you do in the high school level during your practices during the week. But it's like, man, I don't want to do all that. But if you call me up and say, hey, dude, you want to play on Sunday? Just get your stuff. Yeah, I'll be there. Let's go. Hey, I'm 42. I'm going to be 42 next month, and I'm still trying to do this. Well, the only reason I stopped playing semi-pro football was not because of the games. It was because of the practices. I don't feel like going to practice. I bet you a lot of guys feel the same way. So, like, something like what Eric Weddle did with the Rams, where he returns for a playoff run like that, has an impact. They won a Super Bowl. But even if not that, just the idea of being able to go, you know, kind of get your fix, feel it, and do all that without having to put in all the other stuff that comes with being on the team officially all year long. I'm not saying he'll do that, but I could see that more than this being one of those false announcements where a guy announces it and then we all know he really wasn't ready to retire and he comes back and plays anyway. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I'd love it if it did, of course, because, you know, I mean, we'll see about Otten. Now that they released Bradley Pinion, they have an extra spot on the 90-man roster that they could fill with maybe a veteran tight end. So, I mean, we'll see what the tight end situation is, but certainly from a Bucs fan standpoint, he'd be welcome back. He is still a dominant force when healthy, and I don't think there's any reason to believe he would not be healthy to start out. But again, it has compiled a lot over his career, and we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm not, I mean, a lot of people are just instinctively, he'll be back, he'll be back. I don't know, I'm not so sure about that. But we'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, they had their mini camp, not last week, the week before last. And so, you know, the weird part for that, for me, I continue to forget that Bruce Arians stepped down and that Todd Bowles is the head coach. Like, I get to remind myself, I don't know if anybody else has had that happen to them, but I keep forgetting, like, oh, wait, I forgot. Like, they showed minicamp highlights on the news and stuff like that, and then they go to Todd Bowles, you know, doing a little bit of a media thing in the gaggle where they're all talking to him. And I'm like, yeah, I guess Arians is just over it. He doesn't want to talk. Oh, wait, I forgot. No, Bowles is actually the head coach now. I keep forgetting. Like, it still feels like Arians is the head coach. But, yes, Todd Bowles is the head coach, and that still seems, you know, honestly, I remember when that happened at the time, we did our show that week, and I said, oh, well, it all makes sense, you know, and I still do believe the ultimate idea of the whole thing, that Arians didn't want to retire when it looked like he was going to leave him with Blaine Gabbert as the starting quarterback, and he didn't want to put Bowles in that situation. I mean, Bowles already had one shot at being a head coach. It didn't go well with the Jets, and obviously there's been a lot of coaches who haven't had it go well with the Jets, so I'm not necessarily saying that was Bowles' fault, but the point is, you stick him for a second time around with Blaine Gabbert as his starter, that's it. He'll eventually get fired again, and, you know, then he's done being a head coach. He's a young guy, relatively. So I do buy, I'm not totally into the whole conspiracy theory thing, I do buy that Arians, once Brady said he was coming back, felt better about maybe stepping down. But you also have Arians who's still over there who's saying, I want to be involved, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you want to be involved, just be the head coach. And if you don't want to be in part of any of it, I get that. Like, that would be more, that would make more sense. Like, okay, I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. But no, I want to do it. I just want to be around, but I'm not going to be the head coach. Well, hell, that seems like the part that being the head coach, honestly, on game days, like on Sundays, that's the easy part. It's all the other stuff that comes with being the head coach that you don't want to have to deal with. But if you're around one Buck place all the time anyway, I don't know. It still seems a little weird, but we'll all get used to it. Once training camp starts and we see them all out there every day, Bowles, I mean, I guess it'll register a little bit more. But yeah, I really do have to remind myself every time I see an interview on TV and it says Bucks head coach Todd Bowles, I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, that's not Arians anymore. It was weird the way the whole thing happened. But we'll see what happens now. Like I said, a month to go until training camp on July 27th. And the Bucks just announced the training camp days that you can go watch practice. And by you, I mean only season ticket members, because it's not open to the public again. And I know Joe tweeted about it at Joe Bucks Fan on Twitter on the main website feed. And he wrote an article on that stuff. I'll tell you, I agree with the Joes on this. Like, I have a problem with it. Like, the Bucks, and they've done so many things right. Now, this may sound like a nitpick, because on the list of things that are important, I guess training camp practices aren't very high. But, you know, the idea that you'd shut off practices to just but a small select group of people. And I get wanting to incentivize people buying season tickets. Not that I think getting to watch training camp practice is some big special privilege, but, you know, I understand, okay, you want to make it worthwhile for people. Okay, here's some extra things you get if you make this financial commitment. But I think that training camp, and I'm an old school guy because I grew up doing it myself, is one of those times a year when it's just cool to be able to just walk up, and not even just opening up to the public, but just not, I didn't even like when they made you like reserve a ticket on the website. Like, I'm a product of the UT days. Like, I remember Pepinrud Stadium on North Boulevard, where the UT campus is. It's still there. It's nicely renovated now. It's not the same grandstand, but it's same field and everything. And I'm not saying I want the Bucks to have camp there. They have their own facility now. That's much better than what they had before. But I remember growing up so many times in the 80s and 90s and going to practices there, and it was so informal. And you just, like, you could be driving down North Boulevard, not even planning to go, and you'd look over, oh, wait, there's Bucks practice. Eh, let's park the car. What the hell? Let's go in for a few minutes. That's how I like to do things. Don't make me plan ahead. Don't make me, like, okay, I'm going to go to training camp next Tuesday. I don't like to do that, especially with something as informal as training camp. And now you can't do it at all, but I mean, you know, there was a certain informality and a certain laid-back atmosphere and a certain, hey, come check us out. And this is obviously when the Bucks were going through those years where there wasn't a ton of demand. They weren't very good. They were never in the playoffs. But that's what I grew up in. I still, every time I met my kid did soccer camp last year, he's doing it again later in the summer at UT, and they use the same field. And every time I go to drop them off, I go and stand right there next to the track, and in the same exact spot. I remember watching so many Bucks practices. I remember the little cash and carry, little card handouts with the swashbucklers on them and stuff like that. And then the roster hand. They'd have a sheet of paper with the roster printed out and everybody's college and height and weight. You know, simpler times. I don't know if they still do the roster thing, or now they want you to look it up on your phone probably. But I used to like those cards. They were just sitting there, and you'd go grab one. You'd go sit in the grandstand, covered grandstand at UT. That was wonderful. And so I know I'm not trying to be one of these, oh, the way things used to be guys. But training camp should just be, here's when we're practicing, here are the times, it's open. We don't care, just come in, whatever. There's no gate, there's no, even if it's free, there's no online ticket, blah, blah, blah. Just come over if you want, check us out. It's practice. We're talking about practice, you know? And yeah, it's football practice. My gosh. And I remember, you know, even recently, even at the new one, Buck, going to watch practices there before it was, you know, a formal thing, and running into people you know or catching up with old friends, guys from high school. You see a guy there with his kid, and I got my kid. I mean, I remember doing that too. So I think they should be open to everybody. And of course, I understand it's not that big of a deal. It really isn't. It's just training camp. But I didn't like seeing that. It's just one of those things I don't think has to be that way. And you can even do a few days. Like, you could say, okay, on these particular days, these are going to be training season ticket member only days, and maybe you do something special for those that you didn't do for the regular days. Because I understand. Although season tickets can still be had, by the way, they're not completely sold out. Like, you can buy season tickets even right now, so if you're still interested in doing that. And there's more. This was actually more. This was not a big story. I didn't notice this when it came out. I actually saw it. I was reading back over Greg Allman's Twitter feed as I was getting ready to do the show here. Greg Allman covers the Bucks for the Athletic. And I didn't know this was happening. They are adding 3,600 seats to Raymond James Stadium, and it's pretty much going to be the same way it is for the Super Bowl or for the National Championship College, you know, when they have the college game here. Those extra bleachers in the south end zone. So now both sides, both end zones have a little bit of end zone seating. Then it levels off at, what do they call it? I forget what they call it. But, you know, the area where the pirate ship is. And then the other side has one, too. It's kind of, there's a railing there you can stand on, and it's just open, and then the concessions behind it. You'll still be able to use those concessions, but now that'll be underneath the extended stands. And basically, if you've ever even seen pictures or been to when they've had the college football national championship that they had a few years ago, or either the Super Bowls or whatever, you may have noticed it. So that's what it's going to be like for this. And on one hand, that's more inventory. Although these seats, if you want those seats for season tickets, those are, you know, four figures. I think most are four figures, except for the upper deck is like 700 for a season. So there's that, but then there's also just the idea that, hey, there's just a few more seats. If you're the type of person like me who's not going to necessarily buy season tickets every year, but I will go and check out either Ticketmaster or StubHub an hour before a Bucks game and say, hey, what's, you know, what are we looking at today? Maybe I feel like going. You see a trend here? I don't like to plan stuff way in advance. I like to just see how I'm feeling that day and then do it. And so with an extra 3,500 seats, that might just in general put some prices down on the secondary market, or even if it's not a sellout, you can buy them directly, you know, at face value. And so that's just something I thought about. What I don't like about it, though, when I go to Bucks games, unless I have really good seats, which is not very often, but if I have really good seats, I'll use those, okay? But otherwise, if I get tickets to a Buck game, doesn't matter where my seats are, if they're anywhere in the upper deck, I just go in, I go to those railings in the end zone. I went to every single Bucks game as a season ticket holder for over 10 years and over 80 Bucks games in a row. Preseason too, didn't miss a single one for over a decade, okay? And my seats were up in section 318, and my ass, literally my ass, never touch those seats once because I just go and go to the rail. So now there's only one rail instead of two, and those rails can get crowded. Like, you usually can, if you're there, you know, a little bit before the game, you can find a rail spot because it gets like two or three deep pretty quick. And I'm tall enough where that didn't bother me, but now I bring my son, and he needs to be right there on the rail. I love that view. I love being in the end zone. I love kind of just being around other Bucks fans. Everybody's talking. It's kind of a party area, common area. My partner Scott Brantley on my old radio show used to say that, former Buck and Gator linebacker. He'd be like, Bobby, you need common area. Just a place you can stay. He's right. He's absolutely right. Every stadium, every really good stadium should have at least some common area. Maybe you're there with some friends and you've got like eight people and there's, you know, four seats here and four seats. Just whatever, you're not together, you still have a place where you can all come together. You need that. And Raymond James Stadium is good with that because they've got lots of common area in both end zones. So now the one south end zone common area is going to be taken away. That's going to make the north end zone by the pirate ship even more crowded. And so, you know, it's a small thing. It's not a big deal, but I don't like that part. I wish that was still going to be there because that's my staple. And I've gone down there for so many games where I had a ticket, and maybe me and my buddy were there, but he had a different seat than me, or this or that, or maybe I just wanted to be down close because I love the end zone view from down there. It's a really good view. You can see the plays open up and stuff. So I don't know. You know, it'll be tougher now. Then again, a lot of those seats may be open. We'll see. But that is something you can look for this year at Raymond James Stadium that didn't really get a lot of attention, but in the last couple of weeks that was announced by the Bucks that they're going to do. So, not much going on with the roster besides the Gronk thing. Like I said, Ndamukong Suh has come out and said the Bucks don't look like they're a factor. I think he wants to come back here, but it doesn't seem like the Bucks are interested. So, other than that, and Greg Allman did write a nice little piece kind of guessing at the Bucks' 53-man roster when all is said and done. There'll be more of those written as we get closer to training camp and everything like that. But that's where we're at right now, still a month to go before training camp. So what else is there to talk about between now and then? Well, the reports have been leaking out one by one from different teams. Of course, uniforms always come up. And I wanted to say my piece here because exactly what I said was going to happen and what I feared would happen is now happening. And, you know, the league had what was called the one helmet rule for a long time that's just recently been ended, and that was where you had to have one helmet for the season. And it was based on the idea that the helmet needs to be broken in, it's better for concussions, what have you. Whether that was true or not, I'm not sure. But what that rule did do was limit teams as far as doing things like throwbacks or whatever, because if the helmet, you can keep the same helmet and peel decals off and put the old ones on if it's the same color. But for example, the Bucks couldn't do their orange throwbacks because you need a white helmet for those. You can't wear a pewter helmet with the old orange jerseys, although I'm sure some of you sickos out there, there's no combination that you'd say no to. But you know, you need the whole, so now you can do that. So everybody was like, Bobby, I'll bet you're so excited about the one helmet rule being done away with. Now they can wear the throwbacks. If you don't know, first of all, let me tell you, just so you know me, okay? I believe the Bucks orange uniforms that they wore up through 1997, or 1996, I should say, particularly the home or the dark, the one they actually wore the orange jersey and the white pants and the white helmet with Bucko Bruce on the side, I believe that is the perfect sports uniform, and it is the greatest uniform ever created by mankind in any sport. That's what I believe, okay? Maybe a little bit of bias there, but it's my favorite uniform of all time. So you think, yeah, Bobby's jacked up. And hey, I love the throw. It's only one game. If it was up to me, they would have never changed. They'd still be wearing those uniforms, even though I like the red and pewter as well. But what you fail to understand is it's never enough for teams to just take a little bit. You give them an inch, they're going to go for a mile. And you let Nike, you let those snakes in the door, they don't care about anything but themselves, and they're going to run roughshod over everything. So, okay, the one helmet rule's done away with. Great. Now, you know what my thought was? Here we go to college football land where, oh, let's try these different color helmets just for the hell of it, just so we can do something idiotic every week because it's different. Because as a nation, we're a nation of children. This is my theory. We're a nation of children. We're immature. We have ADD. And we can't just do the same thing for more than 5 minutes. So, college football. Oh, hey, this week we're wearing, let's wear black just for the hell of it, even though black's not one of our colors. Ooh, let's wear white helmets, even though that's not our usual helmet. The Gators have done it. FSU's done it. And it's ridiculous every time. To me, the one part of a uniform you never mess with is the helmet, because that's your icon. Like, I even have the little gumball machine helmets. I still have them from when I was a kid, and I got the new ones now for my kids. I mean, that should never change. The helmet never, you want to mess around and say, okay, we're going to wear, our, like the Bucks used to wear orange pants or white pants sometimes. Now we got the pewter pants. Sometimes they go white pants. You know, that's one thing, but not the helmet. You don't mess with the helmet. So, okay, well, what about throwbacks? Those are fine, but that's not what the rule. The rule didn't say you can wear a different helmet now if it's a throwback. They're just letting you have another helmet. You saw what the Saints did? That's exactly what I knew was going to happen. They came out with this black helmet with still the same fleur-de-lis logo. They basically transposed the colors. So instead of a gold helmet with a black fleur-de-lis, now it's black with gold. That part's fine. But it's got this awful striping in the center. Again, just ADD stuff. Just say, let's see. Nike doesn't care. They just want people talking about Nike. They're not even trying to make it look good. They're not even trying to make it look anything but just different and just whatever. It doesn't matter to them. Teams have to be the guardians of their own brand. Nike will not do it for them. So anyway, this Saints helmet looks ridiculous. And I'm just completely braced for more teams to follow suit or come out with black. Oh, we're doing a blackout, because there's no bigger mark of an idiot than someone who thinks they look tough because of the color black, okay? And I love the color black on a uniform when it's the team colors, like the Raiders uniforms are one of my favorite. But you'll see so many humanoids on Twitter, and they'll, you know, some college team will come out with a black uniform and they'll post fire emoji. Dude, that is so sick, dude. Dude, no one's going to mess with us on blackout night, dude. Like, these people equate toughness and things like that. Just, oh, I'm wearing black, so I must be tougher. Idiots. But anyway, you know teams, I guarantee you teams are going to do it now. So if it was up to me, I would have said, okay, I would have lifted the one helmet rule only for throw. I would have said throwbacks only. Because I know the Patriots, they just came out the other day with the Pat Patriot look. And that it looks awesome. Like, I'm all for that. That's phenomenal. The Bucks throwback. And the Bucks are not doing them in 2022, but not anything because of any rules, because they say the supply chain or something, they couldn't get the orange jerseys, which I guess the Patriots figured out a way to get theirs. But that doesn't matter. They're doing it in 2023. And I am all for that. I mean, I still remember the 2009 Packers game, the original throwback game, when they wore the orange jerseys for the first time since they had gotten rid of them. And the Bucs were like 0-8, and they won. That was the Josh Freeman game. This rookie kid came in, he went off. I remember getting tears in my eyes just seeing those uniforms on the field and just seeing that white Times New Roman font Tampa Bay across the end zone with orange trim, the way they always used to paint it up at Tampa Stadium. I mean, that's powerful, man. And the big Bucko Bruce logo at midfield. You know, it's about so much more than football. It's a time of your life it takes you back to. So there's definitely a sentimental value to this besides just the aesthetics, although I think the uniforms are beautiful. But anyway, it's powerful stuff. But even with that said, I would sacrifice that in order not to have the league looking like college football every week, where we've got teams trying all these different combinations and cockamamie things that are just ridiculous looking. The NFL has always been one of the best. It's the best looking league, because I know people make fun of the little rules they have and, oh, this guy got fined because his socks were too low or whatever. But you know what? As a damn good looking league, nobody's out there messing around, freewheeling, you know, guy. And they've gotten pretty loose with the sock stuff in the last few years. But like, yeah, I like that they have those rules. And I like that they have the uniform rules too, where you can't mess around. And just every week we look different. The whole point of a uniform is looking the same. Like, you're supposed to be able to, like, that, this is our uniform. You could be at a sports bar 100 feet from the TV and look up across the room and see the little figures running around, and you know who it is just by the uniforms. Not, oh, one week we got a white helmet, one week we got a black helmet, one week we got a pewter helmet. Yeah, stop, just enough with all that. So that's what I fear with the exit of the one helmet rule. I wish they had just kept it the throwbacks, but we'll see. But yeah, when the Bucs do eventually do that next season, it's going to be pretty cool. And Tom Brady's been tweeting about it and stuff like that too, although I don't know if he'll be here next year. But anyway, for now, that's where we're at, folks. And as always, get a hold of me if you want to, if you've got any things you want to say, or I can get your thoughts onto the next show. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, it's @BobbyGameDay. Same thing. You can always get a hold of me that way. And if you're listening to this and you're also a Lightning fan or a hockey fan, which I know there's probably a lot across, people who are fans of Tampa Bay sports in general, tune in, tblpowerplay.com, 9 a.m. It'll be on Saturday morning, any morning after a playoff game for the Lightning, and you can hear Lightning Playoff Rewind, where I recap the last night's game, I have guests and things like that, and I'll be doing that all throughout the remainder of the playoffs, which I hope, again, goes at least until next week. We've got at least one more game. Hopefully three more games as the Lightning trail that series 3-1. But either way, that's it for now. And the free stretch will be back as we get ready for training camp. It's not far off. In the meantime, like I always tell you, start tying up loose ends, because we're getting closer now. So get everything in order so that we're ready to go once the preseason hits. August is not far away, and Labor Day weekend, when it really truly gets going, is not far away. Thank you to all for listening. I really appreciate your time. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to the Joes for giving me the platform here on the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere. I am Bobby Fenton. That is your final week of June edition of the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com and wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.
you down.